In the name of Jesus, amen. In our gospel reading today from Luke, we encounter a parable by Jesus, the parable of the fig tree. I think the hymn we just sang puts this tree into biblical perspective. There's a tree that bears fruit, a tree producing fruit. It's a famous biblical image of the Christian life. Psalm 1, the beginning of all the psalms and prayers to God, says followers of God are like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season. Or Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says we live through many seasons of life, but in all our seasons or our ages, like a tree, we're rooted in God's word, Jesus Christ. Trees bearing fruit for every time or season of our lives. Tree, right? Trees are planted. They are nurtured. They grow. Planted by God. Created by our Creator. Nurtured by the grace of Christ. Growing in the power of the Holy Spirit. The tree is an image for you and for me in Christ and in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful image that connects all of Scripture. Well, we have a wonderful time of year, don't we? It's short here in New York. Spring is finally officially here. And while there's still a chill in there, there are signs, aren't there? Signs of flowers and trees turning green. Even here in New York, maybe more than other places, we can appreciate the beauty and the newness of spring. Places like little parks or big parks like Central Park. And what often seems hidden in winter, those trees are still alive, aren't they? It's hidden in winter. It's just waiting for the opportune time to blossom. Isn't that what Scripture says of us as trees? Even what appears hidden is waiting for the opportune time to be a blessing. So what can seem hidden in our lives, faith and hope, has the right time to blossom and spring forth. I suppose it's all about timing. And if we go back in time, the Bible begins and ends with trees in time. We sang about it, right? There's the tree of life planted by God in the garden of Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 2, it says the Lord God made all kinds of trees, it says, grow out of the ground. Trees that were pleasing to the eyes and good for food. In the middle of the garden of all these trees were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then if you're tracking with time, if you turn right to the very last chapter, we were at the beginning, turn right to the very last chapter of the whole Bible, Revelation chapter 22, the end of time, from the beginning to the end, it says this. There's a tree of life. It's bearing 12 crops of fruit. It's yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. A tree of life from beginning to end. And of course, in Revelation, fills it in for us so that there's no mystery about it. Jesus, it says, is the beginning and the end in Revelation. The tree of life and Jesus, well, they go together. All of this helps make sense of our parable today, or story, or teaching image that Jesus has about a fig tree. There's one more tree image, right? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this helps make sense of what Jesus says about evil and repentance in the first part of our gospel reading today. You've heard the expression, right? You can't see the forest for the trees. It's an expression to keep in mind the big picture. Adam and Eve miss, don't they? They miss all those trees that God planted. The big picture, it says in Genesis 2. And they go for that one tree, which they weren't supposed to go for at the beginning. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They partake of the fruit of this tree and ignore the other trees. The one that God forbid and the one that they eat and the one that poisons. And the rest of the story, right, is our story, stuck with it. There's sin, there's death, there's the devil. The fruit of this tree of knowledge of good and evil is rotten to the core. God bars, right, Adam and Eve from that tree of life. They're wandering on their own. He doesn't want them stuck in this state forever. They will die. We will die. Wanderers we are. Scripture puts it this way. The wages of sin pay out in death. Tax time. But the hope of Jesus Christ, eternal life. There's a senseless and sad world of sin. It's a lonely world. It's a world of wandering and strangeness. And there's the sure promise of salvation in Christ. Remember, don't lose sight of the forest for the one tree of sin. I don't know about you, right? But the human mind has a tendency to focus on that one bad thing, doesn't it? We tend to focus and forget the big picture of God's blessings and grace, and we focus on that one negative. You might hear 9 positive things and 1 negative, and you'll go home fuming about the one. Jesus heals 10 lepers, and only one bothers to say thank you. Wow. It's sad, isn't it, to fixate on the bad? It's true. It's true. There's bad news at the start of our gospel reading today. There were some present at the time who told Jesus about Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices, ripped right from the news of the ancient world. Jesus answered them with another newsflash story. Do you think the Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans, or that terrible tower that fell? Do you think that was worse too? See, Jesus says, look, we're all in this mess together. You think it's something they did worse than you? Where does sin lead to? Death. There's no explanation. There's nothing to save us. There's no exit. I tell you, Jesus says, but unless you repent, you all will perish. No one's more guilty than another. We're all guilty. When we are struck with the terrors of a senseless fallen world, right? We call this sinful world. When accidents happen beyond our control, when storms, fires, pain, when senseless violence strikes, Jesus says there's only one response. There is only one response. Repent. Realize. It's part of what repentance means. Our sin, our condition, our fragility, our fears. Repent. Another meaning is turn and cling. Turn from sin and cling to God, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer. Realize that He's the only way out. This is a hard teaching. It was in Jesus' day and still is today. It's a message that continues, right, to be evaded, avoided. We can blame someone else. They're worse than us. They deserved it. We can bury our pain, hide from our shame. We can refuse to change our stubborn ways. We evade. We avoid. We evict. This is the rotten fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's poison. It poisons us. It poisons others. It's sin, death, and the devil. Remember to see the forest from the trees. Jesus doesn't end his talk there, right? He tells a story and he actually gives an image. An image that should be on our hearts, right? Jesus tells the image of a tree. He tells them this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. He went to look for fruit on it. He did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it take up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone one more year. I'll dig around it. I'll fertilize it. I'll care for it. And if it bears fruit next year, great. If not, okay. Cut it down. A fig tree. Fig trees are pretty fragile, if you know about them. They're also surprisingly durable, and they also, over patience and time, produce some amazing fruit. It's an image. And what kind of tree is this? Well, we look to the one who's telling the story. He knows a certain thing about trees in his life. The woodworker from Joseph, who's now going to have to bear the wood of the cross for 3 years, didn't he? For 3 years. Jesus' earthly ministry. He's healing. He's bearing fruit. Yet so many people just take him for granted. He's teaching. But yet one of his own students, betrays him, sells him out. After 3 years, after God the Father has blessed his son on the Mount of Transfiguration even and said, wow, this is the one, listen to him. After 3 years, he's cut down. He's cut down in life. He's forsaken. He's a stump of the root of Jesse. He's from David's line, a stump cut down in death on the tree of the cross, cut down for you and for me, for all this senseless sin. How to make sense of this tree of life, this cross of Christ? Well, it starts by realizing that it's his cross. It's his tree. It's his life. He dies for you and for me. What is the response? Sure, there's repentance, and then there's wonder, and there's awe, and there's mystery, and most of all, there's love. Knowledge of all this puffs up, but I suppose that's why Jesus uses an image. An image implanted deep within us, a love which builds up from the heart, Scripture says. This self-giving love surpasses knowledge. It's the most excellent way of life. It's love. It's love, which doesn't really make any sense at all, and yet is beautiful in its own way. The love of God in Christ for us, and not only for us, for his enemies, for a whole world that senselessly put him on the cross. He loves them all. He loves them all. In Revelation chapter 22, there's no tree of knowledge there. There's no tree of the knowledge of evil. You know, Jesus has looked evil right in the face. He's endured the chaos of evil. He overcomes evil with good. And at the end of the Bible, the end of our time, tracking with time as we know it, there stands but a tree of life. A tree of life in which there is no curse. A tree of life in which there is healing for the nations. A tree of life in which evil is overcome with good. The tree of Jesus, the tree of the cross, the leaves of that tree are for restoration. Like trees in Central Park that give shade to weary tourists and locals alike. Isn't that the image for us? Trees planted by God, living in Christ, bearing fruit in the Spirit for the nations. We give shade, we give healing to everyone who happens to stop a while and shelter with us. Don't lose sight of the forest for the trees. Sure, there's the senselessness of sin and death, but there is the cross of Christ. And there's you and me planted in Jesus. And when we are firm in that and secure in Jesus Christ, we can begin to look and see all the other trees out there, can't we? We can see a forest, a wonder of God's love, the beauty of it all. In our gospel reading, there's that reality of sin. Don't evade it. Don't avoid it. Repent of it. There's a tree of life which stands. It's the cross of Christ. It's our hope. And there's the chance, as the parable says, for today, for a little more time that you and I get, more time for this season, for this spring, God, our gardener, creator, digs around us. He fertilizes and nurtures us today with the grace, all for the chance this spring to bear some fruit, to blossom, to bless.